Happy Father's Day. Fathers, are you happy? Amen. Good. That means you have something to be happy about. Psalms 127 is our text this morning. And I would like to say, on behalf of Victory, how much I appreciate the godly men of Victory Missionary Baptist Church. You're making a difference. You're a blessing to this pastor, for one thing. But I know it's not about me. It's about to the glory of God. And you are making a difference for the glory of God. Thank you for being men of God, men of godly character, men of honor. Would you stand with me as we read from Psalms 127 and verse 1? Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, oh, we thank you, Lord, for the godly men of Victory Missionary Baptist Church. Father, I thank you for the men who set an example for their children to follow, as well as others in this church, Lord, so that we can see what godly men look like. Father, I pray for our fathers. I pray that you'll give them wisdom to live for your glory. I pray that you'll give them strength to stand against the attacks of the devil. And that, Lord, you'll empower them to resist the evil one. Now we pray that your will be done and you'd be glorified through everything that's said and done here today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. One of my most treasured opportunities is being a father. I am glad that God has made me a father. And today, the message is simple. It is very simply, like the title says, advice for fathers. Now, I know you may think, Brother Doug, you don't have any kids anymore. Yes, I do. They just don't live with me anymore. They're still my kids. You may think that, yeah, Brother Doug, you were back in the old days. Well, I might have been back in the old days, but I've already been there, done that, and got the T-shirt. And kids aren't that much different today than they were back in the old days, right? Today, here's what I'd like every father to know, and every potential father to know. In the text, the first thing we see is a father's provision. As the text says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. If you're a father today, the first thing I want you to understand is that you have a job that is beyond your ability. You're in over your head. You can't do this by yourself. And I ask you, you know, how can you raise children who will refrain from evil? How can you raise children to be pure in a dirty culture? How can you raise children that will always make the right choices? I mean, after all, they are bombarded on every side. They're bombarded in the schools that they attend with the evils that just surround them in school. everything they watch on TV, and I know you can't make your kids watch Andy Griffith these days. I understand that, right? Just because that's what I like. But anyway. But bless their heart, everywhere they look, they're surrounded by sin and bad choices. And the first thing I want you to know is that you cannot be the father that you need to be unless you have help from above. Now, with that help, you can be. That's why the psalmist said, except the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. This was coming from a man, Solomon. He was the richest, wisest man that was ever known. And he got to a point in life when he realized most everything was vain except that which was for God. The one thing that he most certainly understood, if God didn't build the house, it would be worthless. And I want you to understand the same thing. You can build a beautiful home. And often, you know, I know how men are. You know, we want a beautiful home on the outside. But just because you have a nice home on the outside doesn't mean it's good on the inside. You can have that beautiful home. You can give your children the best clothes. You can make the best living you can possibly make. And you can give them everything that you didn't have when you were young. And it can all still be vain or emptiness. You know, I have figured out, this is the first thing I want you to get. I have figured out this one thing. Fathers, your children do not need any more stuff. There weren't any kids who amen that. There were some older folks. But fathers, your children don't need any more stuff. They need a father who loves Jesus. That's the most important part. And don't get me wrong. I don't blame you. We want to give our kids, and we want our kids to have. But the thing that your kids need more than anything else is a father who loves Jesus. And so that's where we start. You can't build a house, guys, until you have a relationship with Jesus. Because contrary to popular belief, you don't know everything. You need God. Oh, you need Him so much. Number one, are you saved? If you're not saved, you don't have a chance. You see, you've got to have a standard. You've got to have a God that you can lean on. A God that when your kids do make the wrong decisions, you know how to respond. Are you saved? If you're not, you need to take care of that this morning. Number two, are you faithful? Your kids need to see a faithful example, right? And by faithful, I mean carrying them to church. You take them, not send them. They need to see that you have the right relationship with Jesus Christ before they'll even consider being right themselves. So how do you do that? How do you raise children, Brother Doug? It starts, like I say, with a relationship with Jesus. But I love Proverbs 22:6. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. There are two parts to that scripture. There's training and there's trusting. As a father, it is your job to train up a child. Now, that word train means to develop a person's behavior by instruction. Dads, you are a most effective teacher in the life of your children. You are the instructor. They are the student. You say, Brother Doug, they don't want to listen to me. That's nothing new. Like I said, I've raised teenagers before. I know they come to that point where they don't want to listen. It's still your job to tell them. Tell them anyway. Don't beat it into them. Don't belittle them. Don't be abusive toward them. Just simply, in a loving way, instruct your children so that your child always knows and there's never a question that what you're giving your child, you're giving that child out of a heart of love and compassion for them. That you want God's very best for your child. Teach them. And don't just speak it. Teach it from here. You know, one of the greatest failures of men today is teaching the Bible to their children. I've heard man after man say, well, Brother, I'm just not comfortable teaching the Bible. I'm afraid I'll say something wrong. Get over it. It's kind of like not knowing how to do CPR when someone falls down of a heart attack in the middle of the floor and you say, I can't do CPR because I don't know CPR. Listen, if it's me, jump on me, beat on my chest, do something to revive me. I don't care if you know CPR or not. Don't let me just lay there without any help. You don't have to be a Bible scholar to share Scriptures with your children. Please, please share the Scripture with them. It's great to have family devotions. Brother Doug, I wouldn't know what to say. Okay, don't say anything. Just read the Bible. Brother Doug, I don't understand. Get you a Bible you can understand and read the Bible. You see, your children need to see that from you. Show them. Don't just tell them. Demonstrate to them what a relationship with Jesus looks like. Here's my question. When your children see you, can they say, that man loves Jesus? That's what they should be able to say. That's the idea here with teaching, because, you know, it's one thing to instruct with your mouth. It's another to show them how to do it. And the way you show them is you put it into practice yourself. There's too many don't do as I say, daddies. Oh, no, no. Show them what a child of God looks like. Now, guys, here's the time we get real. When your child looks at you, what does he or she see? What does she see? Because she see a life that I can be like that. Does he see a life that says, oh, that's what I want to be? Or does he see something else? See, that's how you raise children. Second thing, that's a father's provision. Second thing's a father's protection. You got to know your limitations as a dad. In the text, it said, except the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. See, one of the father's jobs is protection. Amen? It's our job to protect and watch over and keep our family. And if our kids get in trouble, it's our job to come get them. Lift them back up after they fall and, you know, put them back on track. When I had teenage girls at home, I look back, I can smile now. I didn't smile much back then, but, you know, I look back, smile, and I thought for a while it was my job to put the fear of God in those teenage boys that was hanging around the house. Then I discovered those teenage boys, most teenage boys are too dumb to be afraid. And if you're a teenage boy, I love you, and I can say that because I've been one, okay? I laugh at fathers who clean their guns when their daughter has the first date. You do what you want to, guys. You're wasting your time. What I discovered is there comes a time when you can't watch your kids 24/7. You see, that's why you train them. The last part that we talked about. That's why you train them. There will come a day when they're going to make their own decisions. And as such, they will be subject to the consequences of those decisions. Will they make wrong decisions? Probably so. if they do make wrong decisions, what do? You realize that they're not the first kid that made a bad decision. You go back to when you were a kid, you probably made some bad decisions too, right? Brother Doug, what do? When you get to that place where you can't watch them for 24/7 anymore, Proverbs 22:6, the last part. Train up a child in the way he should go. And what? When you say it with me. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. I mean, it's a big job, I know. What do you do when they reach that age you can't protect them anymore? You pray for them and you trust God with them. That's all you can do. Okay? You pray for them and you can trust God with them. See, here's where all the rubber meets the road. You spend years training your children. And if you, hopefully, somewhere along the way, they've soaked in some of it. But have you ever heard an officer, a police officer, who did something heroic? Have you ever heard them interview a police officer after he did something heroic? Or great military men have done the same thing, and they say, How did you rescue that baby from a burning building? Or how did you put yourself in harm's way? You know, how did you have the courage to do that? And the story's always the same. You know what they say? They say, well, I saw the situation and I trusted my training and I acted based on the training that I had. And every time I'm amazed by that. And you know what I learned? I've learned from that, that if you instill good training in people, when the rubber meets the road, most of the time that training will kick in. Okay? I'm not saying your children be perfect. I'm not. But when you train, it's just like that police officer that knows how to respond. You see, a police officer does not respond when he gets into the crisis situation. If he does, he's waited too late. What has he done? He's trained before he got there. And he's trained and trained and trained. And when he gets into that crisis environment, he just very simply, that training kicks in and he goes into action. Same thing with your children. How important is it what your child sees in you? You're training them. You're setting, you're preparing them because the crisis is coming. And all you can do is train them. And then you trust God to take them when they're beyond your control. Oh, listen, guys. As dads, you've got to know your limitations. You've got to realize that there's a point that you can't make those decisions for your kids anymore. When you reach that point, you've got to be able to trust God. All right? Because God knows what He's doing. He knows what He's doing. But if you don't train them, it'll be a train wreck when the crisis comes. Train them. Take the time. Then we get to a father's perception. It says in verse 3, behold. You know what that word behold means? It means just what it says. Look, I'm going to tell you something really important. Look, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. That word heritage is an inheritance or a portion. And so what you need to realize, the idea there behind that phrase is that children are a portion assigned to you from God. And the idea is that they are to be a blessing. You're saying, yeah, right, Brother Doug. They are. Here's the thing. We're advice to fathers. Fathers and mothers too, for that matter. Enjoy them while you got them. Enjoy them while you have them. Because you won't have them forever. I remember my dad and I were talking one day, and I don't know why this stands out, but I'll never forget. We were sitting, he had one of those little porch swings out under the tree, and we were sitting there swinging one day, and he said, "Son," I said, "Yeah, Dad." He said, "Enjoy where you are, because it's the best time of your life right now." I said, "Yeah, Dad, okay, yeah, right." I didn't get it. But he was right to a large extent. See, I got a lot of memories. When my kids were growing up, we'd sing as a family. And when I get my kids up to sing, I didn't have to sing well. I just looked good standing beside them, you know? Oh, I remember the baseball games and softball games with the girls. And I remember, all the stuff the kids, they had cheer and baseball and all that back when my kids were little too. Hadn't been that long ago. But you know what I realized after my kids grew up? I realized that, there were a lot of times I was so busy pastoring a church and so busy getting them to where they're supposed to be, and I forgot to enjoy it and appreciate what I had while I was there. I think that's probably why grandparents lose their mind when grandchildren come along. Because we look back and we realize, and there's no regrets. It's not that you abused your children or anything. It's that, man, I kind of missed some of it. I didn't think about it and appreciate it while I had it. Well, fathers, I want to tell you, if you have children right now, I want you to understand you're in some of the best times of your life. I'm not going to say it's the best time of your life because I'm really enjoying where I am right now too. But appreciate God no matter where you are. Appreciate what God is giving you no matter where you are. Otherwise, you get to the end of life and life has just passed you by. You see, one day you wake up and you realize that good part of your life is gone and you'll never get it back. Job 14:1, man who is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Comes forth like a flower and fades away. He flees like a shadow and does not continue. Appreciate where you are. Then finally, a father's pleasure. Behold, children are blessed, are heritage from the Lord, for the fruit of the womb is a reward, like arrows in the hand of a warrior. Doesn't that just sound good? Is that the way you feel about your children? He's my arrow in my hand. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are children of one's youth. Happy is the man whose quiver is full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies at the gates. Blessed. Today, fathers, I just challenge you to count your blessings. Count your blessings. Appreciate your children. And I'm not accusing you of not appreciating. I'm saying that sometimes we just need to stop and say, "Lord, thank you. Lord, thank you for giving me this child, this young man." And be appreciative of what God has provided. I like the way it puts it. They're like arrows. You know what an arrow is? It's a weapon. It's a weapon that we shoot out toward the world. The blessed is the man whose quiver is full. You ever had a house full of children? And the more children you have, the happier you are, according to Solomon here. Oh, some of you are saying, "Yeah, right." But here's the idea. They are our weapon for the future. The job that you do today, the quality of that you do today in raising your children, will set the tone for the culture of this country and this community and even this church in the future. We need to instill in our youth the principles of the Word of God. Because what we see today is a country that somewhere that has failed. It has failed to be taught. And you have children that have no respect. Or you have adults, I'm saying, that have no respect. Well, because they weren't taught respect when they were young. We have adults that have no moral standard because they weren't taught that when they were young. We are where we are as a nation today because of the failure of parenting in the past. Brother Doug, that's harsh. It's the truth. Because we quit teaching our children. I don't know if this has been a Father's Day message or not. Everything I've said applies to fathers and mothers and applies to all of us, basically. But here's what you need to understand. They are our joy. Children. I have people ask me all the time, Brother Doug, do crying babies bother you? Not one bit. Okay? Do you ever hear a baby? Yeah, I hear them a little bit. But the older I get, the more harder hearing I become, so I hear them less and less, right? But no, in all honesty, a crying baby's music to my ears. Because it kind of points to a future at Victory. Okay? Never think that this preacher will be offended by your crying baby. I love that crying baby. Let him cry. Take him out and console him if you have to, whatever. But never be ashamed. And never think twice about it. Finally, the last thing I want to give you today. Said that our children are a father's pleasure. And what he's talking about there, he says the children of one's youth. The picture is this, that same thing happens to all of us. Parents grow older, right? We grow older. The older we grow, the more we require of our children. Amen? It starts with things like cell phones. I can't work this silly phone. Can you fix it for me? Then we can't program our TV. We can't program our internet. We can't, it starts like that. And then one day we get really bad off and we got to come live with you kids. You just remember, your mom, your dad changed your dirty diaper when you needed changed. Your mom and your dad sacrificed and worked hard so to put food on the table and a roof over your head. Your mom and dad has provided a living for you all those years that you couldn't provide for themselves. You couldn't provide for yourself. What am I saying? I'm saying there's not a more beautiful picture than when parents get old for their kids to love their parents and take care of them. Take care of your mom and your dad when they get older. Because I'll be honest with you, there's a certain amount of joy in the things that I can't do, I cannot do, when my kids come and say, well, let me get that for you, Dad. It just kind of makes me proud of them, to be honest with you. And I'm not suggesting, I know sometimes parents have to move into assisted living things and they need nursing. I get all that. And you do what you have to do. But children, always afford your parents the honor and the respect that they deserve. Because they didn't have to raise you. They didn't have to give you clothes to wear and a roof over your head. They did it because they loved you. Now you love them back. Okay? Because that's their joy. It's important that we get back to the mentality where men are men. Okay? Sometimes I fear our current culture are raising sissies instead of men. I know that's politically incorrect to say. I want to tell you about real men. Real men are not afraid to tell their children they love Jesus. Real men are not afraid to take their families to church. Real men are not afraid to make decisions, God-honoring decisions, in their family. Real men are not afraid to love their wives as Christ loved the church. That's what a real man is. The world may look down on you. The world may say, oh, you're just, you know, you're not progressive. And let me tell you something. I measure my character based on the Word of God. Men, I challenge you to do the same. I'm not saying that we're perfect. I'm not saying that we can't improve. We got a lot of improvement to make. I am saying, be a man and stand up for Jesus. Be a man. Let the world know where you stand, including your family. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, in closing, okay? I've said that twice already, hadn't I? If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me give you this. You need to be saved. You can't build a family without Jesus Christ. Can't do it. And Jesus Christ, you've heard the story how that He came to this earth as the Son of God. He went to the cross of Calvary to die for your sins so that He could take your punishment and give you heaven. All that's required of you is to call upon Him and asking Him to save you. See, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So you have the opportunity to set things on the right course today. Brother Doug, I hadn't been a great father in the past. Well, you can't do anything about the past, but you can sure change from this day forward. Okay? Get on track. Make Jesus the Lord of your life. Maybe you're here today and you say, well, you know, I've made mistakes, and haven't we all? I don't stand before you today and kind of give you any impression that I was a perfect dad, because I was not. Far from it, right? But my challenge to you would be, ask God's forgiveness for your mistakes. Get back on track. Get with it. Be a dad. Whatever your spiritual need is, I'm going to leave that between you and Jesus right now. What are you going to do with it? Heavenly Father, we thank You. Thank You, Lord, for the opportunity to share today. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the reminder, Lord, that, that we need real men. Men who will stand up, take their stand for Jesus Christ. Men who will stand up and love their children. Men who will stand up and love their wives. Men who are willing to be men. Father, I pray that now in this invitation, if there's one who's lost, I pray that today will be the day that they call upon You for salvation. I pray that if there's one who has lacked the dedication, Father, I pray that today will be the day they rededicate their life. I pray that we'll all go out of here today ready to serve You with a zeal like never before. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.